As some of you will recall, and as others of you heard mentioned earlier in the service, two Sundays ago, I finished up Sunday worship and immediately headed out of town for my annual silent retreat. I made my way to the retreat center in Connecticut, bucking the traffic coming down out of the Adirondacks, headed for New York City following the 4th of July weekend, and then spent a full week, Sunday to Sunday, in silence. Some of you have asked questions about what that's like. The truth is, why I go and do that is as important as what I actually do there. I go to find peace. I go to find rest. I go to find clarity of heart and mind and soul. I go to find God and to find God's desire, God's will for my life. It's not hard to fathom that a core and necessary component for doing all that is slowing down and quieting down, making room for God and for listening to God in ways I cannot do every day as I race from task to task, person to person, appointment to appointment. Each year's retreat is different, mainly because my life is different from one year to the next. And so God has something different to say to me, or something old to say in a new way. This year was no different. As I made my way through the silent corridors and rooms that first night, reacquainting myself with the space, I found my eye and my hand drawn to several small books that had been set out as possible devotional reading for the week. Looking back at it, I now understand that it wasn't about me finding God, but about God finding me. I had brought some spiritual reading material with me, but these unfamiliar books seemed to draw me to them like a magnet, or perhaps more accurately, like a dry sponge or thirsty traveler looking for quenching living water. I came to my retreat this year with two prayers. The first prayer was that God would use this time to refresh and renew my spirit, and that my love for God would grow deeper and wider. The second prayer was that God would use the time to give me a clear understanding of what I need to be doing as your pastor as we move into this next year and next phase of ministry together. In some ways, the two prayers seemed incompatible. One was about my personal relationship with God, one about my work life on behalf of God. Both are important to me. And I honestly didn't know which prayer I wanted God to answer most. As it turned out, the spiritual scavenging I did that first night and the days that followed brought me to understand that the two prayers were actually two sides of the same coin, a coin called hospitality. The first book I picked up that night was this wonderful little book called Everyday Hospitality, Simple Steps to Cultivating a Welcoming Heart by Thea Jarvis. In the book, Thea writes these words: "Hospitality goes far beyond just inviting someone into your home. Practicing hospitality requires thinking of others first and trusting that good will come from what you do." She goes on to say, "Hospitality asks only that I be open to and accepting of others, willing to move over and make space for someone else at the table of life." She describes the story of a friend named Carol who had been going through a very tough time in life. Their home had been burglarized. Her husband was a chef, which meant as they approached Thanksgiving and actually came to Thanksgiving Day, she was to be alone And so Thea and her family invited Carol to join them for Thanksgiving dinner, except on the way, Carol got lost and went to the home she thought she was supposed to be at, rang the doorbell, was admitted into the home by total strangers who invited her to sit down and have Thanksgiving dinner with them. When they finally pieced the story together of what had happened, that Carol wasn't where she thought she was immensely grateful for the hospitality of that household and left them to go find the home to which she was intending to go. Thea describes several ways in which hospitality has come to manifest itself in her own life. She says, "My table can always expand to make room for one more person. My heart can always expand to make room for one more person. The kitchen is the most hospitable room in my home. The person most in need of hospitality may be living right under my roof." To be effective, hospitality must be balanced with solitude. Kindness, compassion, and generosity are the marks of hospitality. To be hospitable is to be an instrument of peace. A couple of days later, another small book caught my eye. This one, a collection of prayer poems by an author I'd never heard of. The book was just sitting out there one day on my way to lunch, and when I returned from lunch, it was gone, and I figured, easy come, easy go. But a day later, the book showed up at a different place in the retreat center, and it whispered to me again. And I didn't let that moment go by. It's a series of reflections, poems in very simple, straightforward, yet to the point, words that cover a variety of topics. This one seems appropriate for this day, entitled, "To My Mother." As the paramedics were wheeling you out the door that morning, the oxygen mask clamped firmly over your nose and mouth. You suddenly motioned for them to stop and for me to come closer, as if you had something urgent to say. And I, bending over you with tears in my eyes, ready to catch what could be your final words to me, heard you gasp, "Unplug the coffee pot." Which brings us to Mary and Martha. Martha, who invites Jesus in the first place to come visit, then busies herself sprucing up, vacuuming the place so everything is just right. I have this mental image of Martha going down the checklist as Jesus sits in the front parlor waiting for the conversation to begin. My mental image is like this, that Martha passes by coming and going from a variety of chores, and each time she says something like this, "As soon as I get the bathroom clean, Jesus, I'll get there. As soon as I get the kitchen straightened up, I'll come join you. As soon as I get the drinks poured, as soon as I get the hors d'oeuvres out of the oven, as soon as I get supper started, as soon as I get the plates and silverware laid out, I'll be there to give you my undivided attention." Meanwhile, her sister Mary has seized the moment and planted herself by Jesus' side, listening to everything he has to say to her. And when Martha interrupts, complaining that she could use some help in the kitchen, Jesus tells her, "Martha, Martha, you are concerned, you are worried, you are anxious about so many different things. Mary, however, has found the one thing worth being concerned about, and I will not take it away from her. I invite you this morning to do a bit of honest self-reflection. You don't have to tell anybody the answer to this question. Which person are you? Are you the Martha who, in effect, puts her hand up to the presence of Jesus, saying, when I get my life straightened out, when my life feels ready for you, I'll let you in? Or are you the Mary who says, I don't know what you have to say to me. I don't know what you have to give to me. I don't know how my life will be different. But let me cozy up to you and begin to find out. Our temptation in this culture, and even in church, is to busy ourselves with all kinds of good things. The invitation to Martha and to Craig, and perhaps to you, is to find the one thing that matters most, and to push everything else aside, at least for a while, in order to give yourself over to that and to receive from it what you can receive nowhere else. Well, we'll have other Sundays and other sermons when we can talk about what Jesus calls us to do. But for today, the invitation is simply this: to let all those anxieties and worries that tear us apart and that demand so much of us, to set them aside long enough to sit down next to the one who offers healing and comfort and peace and wisdom and joy that are unending, and to call it good, and to call it good.